I don't think there's been a better time to get into collecting comic books than right now. This is one of the best lists that we've put together. Some of these books are down upwards of $1,000 in the last 60 days.
If you just got a big fat tax return check, this is a great time to start investing. And this is one of those things that I know you guys are going to get mad about me saying this, but really, some of these major key books are down so much, this is a perfect time to start investing.
Far be it from me to give financial advice, so I'm just going to move right into the list. Number 10 is The Joker, number one from 1975, the first ever solo titled Joker series. We're seeing $160 average sales this week. However, a 9.8 just sold for, like, over
$1,100. $1,100 in February for a Joker 1 at a 9.8. This book came out in 1975. I do not care what movie's coming out. This book is so tough and high grade, and it should not be selling for $1,000.
Of course, we're seeing traction because we have the Joker 2 trailer that dropped last week, and we're seeing more of these books sell. But it is such a tough book with only 142 on the census at a CGC 9.8. Back in 2022, a full 24 months ago, we saw heights of $2,900 for this book. This is 60% down from that all-time high, and there are just not enough 9.8s on this book to justify how much the price has gone down.
Like Russ said, the Joker 2 trailer is probably at least partially responsible for the 367% increase in copies sold this week. It also just doesn't hit the list very often. This is usually a book that shows up on the Hot 10 with Tom and Jem Mint. This last showed up on the list exactly 6 months ago, back in late October. And before that, it showed up on the Hot 10 again 6 months before that, back in April 2023. So this is like a twice-a-year kind of book that hits the list. It doesn't come up very often, and right now it is more affordable than it kind of ever has been, at least recently.
It has been half a year since we chatted about this book last, and since then, because we tracked the census count, hit the subscribe button, there's been an increase of 160 slabs added to that CGC census. And in 6 months, only six we're 9.8. We have books that we cover week over week that go up double digits, not just in 9.6s, but in 9.8. This book is tough as hell.
Let us know down below if you are excited about this movie and if there are any other books that you are looking for tied into this trailer. And if you don't know what to look for, you need to get the Key Collector app and check out their DC Movies and TV section. What a great way to be able to figure out what books are hot and moving, influenced by all of the new stuff happening in this movie and the James Gunn universe. Use code TOM101 for 2 free weeks of the best comic book app in existence.
You also get access to the Trending 20, the larger list we pull from to source these 10 comic books, organize them for your viewing pleasure. Support the show, and let's look at number 9 on the list with Uncanny X-Men 130, the first appearance of the Dazzler. And Sean Levy, the director of Deadpool 3, I mean, Deadpool and Wolverine, he's going out of his way to say, don't call this Deadpool 3, making me feel like maybe they're saving that name for a future movie. I digress. Sean Levy was asked directly about Taylor Swift's appearance, potential appearance, as Dazzler, and I don't think he was pleased about that.
Taylor Swift Dazzler.
I can't even believe that you would dare ask me a question that you know I can't answer. No one will ever know the truth until July 26th.
So Tom and I both watched that exact thing you just watched, and we had actual different responses to that. I gathered from that interview with Sean Levy, my personal opinion, I don't think Taylor Swift's showing up in this movie, and I got that vibe from his sort of flat, generic response about just gonna have to wait and see who's in the movie.
I can't help but think that he was a little peeved because this is actually gonna happen. I am going back and forth, but we've been telling the community to go easy on this book because, let's look at the price, $200 average sales. The heights this book reached, and we're talking back in December, like recent heights, was $1,900 for a 9.8. The last sale on eBay, an auction, went for $1,050. I'm glad we told people to, you know, kind of go a little soft on this one because the book is down $900 in 4 months.
And if you remember correctly, Tom and Jem on the Hot 10 were talking about this book every single week for like the last 6 months. It was nonstop on that video, but it has not made any list that we've talked about on any, you know, any video on this channel for over a month. Like, this is the first time we've talked about this book in a while, and it is kind of interesting to see it here again. And in episode 5, we did get the first appearance in X-Men 97 of Emma Frost and Sebastian Shaw, who both appear in this issue. There's a lot of Hellfire Club stuff happening in this issue. I think they were a little bit of a red herring because we know episode 5 went a totally different direction than any sort of Hellfire Club shenanigans, but they did make an appearance.
It's a 147% increase in copies sold this week, and I can't help but think it it has at least a little bit to do with the fact that Taylor Swift just released a new album, and apparently the last word on the album is dazzling.
That means something? Go buy the book. That's it.
I don't know, guys.
Let us know what you think in the comments section below. I don't know anything about Taylor Swift or this album, but I do know that the community is really hoping for an appearance. Let's not forget that in Deadpool 2, Brad Pitt showed up. He was invisible. He did have about half a second screen time.
Yep.
Would that appearance, although quick, warrant the prices of this book, however, if Taylor Swift does something similar? Let me know what you think about that in the comment section below while we move on to number 8 on the list with Uncanny X-Men 141. One of the dopest key comic books that's affordable, that's in every X-Men collector's collection, their PC, and it's going for so cheap. We have $160 average sales, a recent 9.8 for $660. How does that feel, LCS owner?
That's impressive how little this book is right now, because again, it is one of the most iconic and most homaged X-Men covers. This is really one of those covers that if you see it, you know it, you love it. It is really just such an iconic cover, and this book just seems so much cheaper than it should be at this point.
Well, take a look at this. In 2 months, this book was selling for $1,075. This book is down about $400 in 60 days. And this is Days of Future Past, Part 1. Could we be seeing some type of, I don't know, rendition of this storyline in X-Men 97? Could be. I don't think it matters. I think this book is so damn cheap and beloved that it's looking like a prime time to buy, and the community is choosing to do so with an increase of copies sold of 120% in the last 7 days.
And we know X-Men, the animated series, did do Days of Future Past all the way back in like the first season, way back in the day, so I don't know if they'll necessarily adapt this plot line again, but in episode 5, again, we did get some Cable time travel-y stuff, which may be setting us up for some sort of, you know, adaptation of this plot line in the near future, but who knows? It's just a cool book. I don't think it needs any outside news to put it on the list.
They're going to have to gold ball this series somehow after what happened in episode 5. Let's take a look at number 7 on the list with Amazing Spider-Man 194. First appearance of Black Cat, and these numbers are ridiculous. We're seeing $350 average sales, sure, but 9.8s, $2,013 this past week, which seems like a lot of money. But 60 days ago, this book was approaching $3,000.
That $2,013 sale is the lowest this book has gone for all year in a 9.82. That is, I think, worth pointing out. We are seeing 114% increase in copies sold. For some reason, people are looking at this book.
Well, you see in the Sydney Sweeney spec? I mean, people are just trying to forget that she was ever in Madame Web as a different character, and they're just crossing their fingers that she's going to throw on that Black Cat costume. And I, for one, am all for it for some reason.
The rumor is that she's going to be joining the MCU. That's it. We don't know what character, potentially, or even if this is a solid rumor at all, but people are making the leap to Black Cat because that, I think Tom Holland's Spider-Man 4 is just on people's radar right now. That's in the near future. They're going to have to start filming that movie at some point soon.
And you know Tom Holland's like, please, please be in the movie.
I don't know. I don't know about that one, but I wouldn't mind. I think the time is right for a new love interest to show up in these movies, especially now that everybody kind of forgot about Peter Parker, and the time is right. Either Black Cat or Gwen Stacy, I think, is perfectly primed.
No one knows that he's Spider-Man anymore, you know, post Spider-Man Far From Home. Was it Far From Home? What was the most recent one?
It's No Way Home, but I don't blame you for forgetting because they made that intentionally confusing.
Homecoming, Far From Home, No Way Home. Yeah, it is confusing.
They did Jake Gyllenhaal dirty. Let's look at the list at number 6 with Batman the Killing Joke number 1. Am I seeing this right, Russ? This 9.8.
Oh, yeah.
Under $300 right now.
Oh, yeah.
All these people talking about like, oh, the market's crashing. No, the market's not crashing. The market's how you want it to be. This is how much you want key comics to go for that you want to add to your PC.
All right, $100 average sales for a raw first print copy. Keep in mind there are 9 printings of this book, but a high 9.8, I'm going to report, this is really interesting, $255 for a 9.8. The day before, there was a $200 sale. The crazy thing about these two things, the $200 sale was a buy it now. Someone listed it on eBay for $200. The $255 was on auction. People bid it up $55 more the day afterwards. That means the demand is there. That means people are willing to pay more. So anyone who is selling these in the average 160 range is absolutely shooting themselves in the foot. This is a beautiful book. This should be in everyone's personal collection. I have already talked multiple times about how this is the one book that I can pinpoint that broke my little brain and caused me to want to be in the comic book industry. I love this book like nobody's business. There are 4,533 9/8s out there, and every single one of them deserves to be just a little bit more. Give it some love.
This book hit above $500 at a 9.8. And this is one of those situations where if you go to an LCS and you're looking for a Killing Joke, maybe they have one at a 9.8. I don't even think it would be on their wall with how much it's going for now. LCS owners are probably going to go, yeah, I could get a few hundred dollars, maybe price it up 20, 30% because it's a Killing Joke one at a 9.8 and you got real estate, et cetera. No, they're probably going to put this away and say, I'll just wait. This book is worth more.
If you go to a show, you're going to see this on the wall for $150 raw.
We've gone too long without mentioning the crazy 10.0 sale that just happened this past week. A 10.0 graded copy of this book. There's only 14 on the census at all, and one sold this week and broke the record. Like, the record was set in 2018 for $7,433. This week, we saw it hit $28,800 for an increase of 287%. What the hell's happening?
So before we get all the 10.0 naysayers, I'm going to make this mention here because there may be something else on the list that could be reporting a 10.0 sale. This is a square-bound prestige book. These notoriously have a little bit better spines, and it is more potential to get a 9.9 or a 10.0 in something that is square-bound as opposed to something that is saddle-stapled.
If you enjoy what we do, we've been doing this video every week for a long time, and you want to get comic books from us, we can make that happen. All you have to do is click the link in the description or go to ComicTom101.com and join the Mystery Mail Call. We send out guaranteed exclusives, so you kind of know what you're getting, but then we also have the opportunity to surprise you with some back issues. We tend to do a dope print, and you support the show for $34.99. And this month, we teamed up with our homie, Bryze Comics, to release a Ghost Rider Final Vengeance issue number one by none other than In-Hyuk Lee.
And in this new Ghost Rider series, we do have a new Ghost Rider. It is the villainous character. The Hood is now the spirit of vengeance. And the Hood is now actually going to be in the Ironheart series as well. So there's a little synchronicity happening there. Make sure you hit up ComicTom101.com. Please, please.
We need to feed Butch. Hit the link. And let's talk about number five on the list, because this book you would be surprised to see on the trending list because it's so expensive, but it's trending for a reason. I mean, 117% increase in copies sold on X-Men 94, the start of Chris Claremont on his legendary run of X-Men, the second team appearance, the new team, the fourth Wolverine. I mean, this is the first appearance of Dragonfly, Ryan.
Dragonfly has been my favorite Marvel. Now, I have no idea who the hell Dragonfly is, but apparently their first appearance is in this book. There's 117% increase in copies sold. This is the first, like, issue of X-Men after Giant Size X-Men. This is, like, the start of the classic Chris Claremont run. It kind of doesn't get better than this.
It saved the run. They were doing reprints right up until that Giant Size because the book was on its way to the garbage.
So because we have to have the average with the super high grades and the super low grades, we are reporting a $3,300 average sales, but that takes into account because we had a recent 9.8 sale for just over $37,000. The last 10 sales of a 9.8 were at either Heritage or Comic Connect, so we see those books sell for a lot of money. The record high was $72,111 back in December of 2021. Now I want to pose a scenario to you guys. You have $1,000. You walk into a comic book shop and you can pick one of three books. Would you rather buy
Green Lantern?
No. Would you rather buy
That's the wrong answer.
A coverless Hulk 181, a 1.0 Giant Size X-Men number one, or an 8.5 X-Men 94, because you know what? All three of those can be had for $1,000. And would you rather have a literally coverless Hulk 181, the lowest grade imaginable you can get, of a giant size X-Men number one, or Action 8.5, which is like a really nice looking copy of X-Men 94. This book is criminally undervalued. Go back every single time we've ever had this book on the list and hear me use these words: criminally undervalued. X-Men 94 is a big flip in key, and guys, you should just be picking these up.
Well, X-Men fever's on high, sure, but no, you're right, Russ. This is a major key. It's gone underappreciated. It spiked up to clear past 70K for good reason, because that's when spec was crazy, because people anticipated the mutants being introduced, reintroduced to the MCU at large. And guess what? It still hasn't happened yet.
You throw around the word X-Men fever like that, and I think I caught it. I hate it. I hate that I have X-Men fever, but there's something cooking inside me because of this X-Men 97 show.
Get him some more cowbell. Let's talk about number four on the list with X-Men Annual number 14.
More X-Men.
This is the first appearance of Gambit prior to his like full debut in 266.
Just a cameo though, right? I mean,
a cameo.
He probably doesn't even say his name or talk or anything.
In like 15 panels or something. How many panels is it? It's a lot of panels.
A lot. Definitely stretching the terms of the word cameo in my humble opinion.
$50 average sales. This book is going for $250 at a 9.8. Guys, do you remember when this book at a 9.8 hit $800?
I absolutely do. And again, Gambit is one of those characters that everyone loves. All of the new X-Men 97, everyone's bringing back all of this Gambit fever. But man, it's another one of those books that I just think it's a cheap book and everyone should have it in their collection.
Are you just saying that because you have a lot of copies of all these books, Russ? No, he's not. I mean, like, these are actual prices that are down in 60 days and in 90 days that are so atrocious that it's making us want to hunt for these books, which is why we're telling you. You can also go to ComicTown101.com. I'm just kidding.
I want to point out, we've talked about the other appearance of Gambit, X-Men 266, like over and over. That book has made the Hot 10 a lot, and I had to do some digging to find the last time we talked about this book. It was all the way back in 2022 when Tom and Jem used to do the runners-up video, which isn't even a thing anymore. It's kind of crazy. I feel like this book should at least have a little more love than it has been getting, and it is cool to see it on the list, especially after recent events in the cartoon. I'm just going to leave it there.
300% increase in copies sold. It's an annual, so it's actually kind of tough to secure in high grade. I don't think I've ever gotten this book in condition enough to send to CGC. However, I have gotten this book in collections multiple times.
It's another square bound. Again, you can get 9.4s and 9.6s, but it's really, really easy to get a corner crunch on this book.
Which brings us to number three on the list with Ms. Marvel issue number 9. Okay, this is $35 average sales, 9.8s, $315. And yeah, this is the first appearance of Deathbird, who is in episode 6 of X-Men 97. It's a cool character. It was my least favorite episode of X-Men 97 because they took us to space, got the Shi'ar Empire and all that X-Men mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of X-Men, and the Shi'ar stuff really bogs it down for me, so I was in the same boat. This was definitely the low point of the 6 episodes we've had so far, but even still, like, that's a pretty high low point, in my opinion. I was still relatively engaged with what was happening, but I'm glad that we seem to be moving past this Shi'ar stuff in one episode. It was kind of like they set it up, they told the story, and then we were moving on, not to spoil it too much, but that leads me to believe that this book might not be one that you want to hunt down and track down long-term, potentially.
It was a pretty titillating episode, though. It's very clear that a lot of the mutants like to practice their mutant lovemaking.
Tom's still thinking about Sydney Sweeney, clearly.
Jesus. All right. Well, this is an increase of 567% in copies sold. And, like, really, I don't see this book going much farther than it is. So if you have it and you got it for cheap, you may want to sell it now. I could be wrong, you know. I seldomly tell people to sell their books or to buy these books unless the prices are too competitive or if the book just doesn't really seem like it's got much lifespan left as it pertains to the highs that it's reaching.
This book and the next one on the list are very clearly two books that nobody was specking on. Number two on the list, X-Men Deadly Genesis number one. We're seeing a $15 average sale and a high 9.8 sale for $116 for the first appearance of Vulcan, who is the ex-husband of the last girl that we were talking about.
The ex-husband?
Vulcan? Scott Summers? Havoc's brother? Showing up out of nowhere? This dude is like way overpowered and very surprising to see. Granted, yeah, he does have some type of narrative with the Deathbird, you know, clearly in the comic books, but I don't know if the same storyline from the comics is being adapted. If anything, it had happened before his appearance, but it's cool to see him. And clearly, this isn't a character you just cameo for no reason.
That is one of the things I do love about this show, though. There's a lot of really cool blink and you'll miss it type cameos. I don't want to spoil those, but we did get a couple in this week's episode of X-Men 97.
Freaking Ronan in there was so dope with his hammer, looking like the MCU version.
That's the exact thing I was trying to not include. But
they gotta watch it. It's okay.
Sure. Yeah. But
sorry.
700% increase in copies sold to 2006 X-Men Deadly Genesis. I think this is the newest book on the list, too, which is kind of surprising for the trending list. There's usually something branded out. Just kidding. I was wrong. Number one on the list.
It's not brand new.
Ooh. And that brings us to the number one most trending book in the world. And I expect this to be at every convention on dealers' walls.
You expect it?
No. I don't X anything.
Oh.
Because this is a book that has nothing to do with Marvel, nothing to do with DC. It has everything to do with the Turtles. We have the oversized, printed to all hell, but there was a lot of damages at release. We have the most relevant, probably most beloved in recent time.
It's Last Ronin.
It's Last Ronin.
It's Last Ronin number one. Just get to it. Come on. 2020. This is a crazy book. It was really cool. It was really big. I don't know why they made it the way they made it.
Probably Brian likes it big.
He's right. He knows. He knows me all too well. This came out when I was working at the shop, actually, back in the day. And I remember us struggling really hard to figure out what the hell sort of bag and board do we put this book in? Because it doesn't fit anything. And that's probably part of the reason why it's so hard to find it in good condition. Right, guys?
No, not at all. This is a massive print run, and there were damages, but the fact that it was square bound, it actually kind of held up a little bit better unless it got an actual corner crunch, and that's one of the reasons why, sorry Boo Birds, we are seeing 10.0 prices and 9.9 prices, but these are so crazy high. So $60 average for a raw sale, high 9.8s, $325, but I also believe since there are so many 9.8s on the census, we're going to see that price creep down a little bit, but 9.9s at $701, and one of the 20 10.0s on the census just sold for $3,000, confirmed as of today, the 19th of April.
R-rated Last Ronin coming to theaters. And I think this is something that we absolutely needed for this franchise, because Turtles is great. And we love watching the silly version of the Turtles on the screen, you know, the full nostalgia cycle, you know, in full swing, you know, getting the last rendition, the animated movie was so great. It was superb. And it is something that we need to see taken up a notch. We need to see that mature, that blood, the violence. We need to see them go the distance with the Turtles. And this right here is an opportunity for it to happen. At the same time that they're making a open world Last Ronin video game. We haven't chatted about this book in 8 months. I'm not even going to hit you with the increase in 9.8s.
You're not?
It's
a pretty crazy number.
All right, screw it. I will. Shout out Logan. 181 copies added to the census. But wait, there's more. 9.9s had an increase of 45 copies in 8 months. Someone do that math in the comment section below. Do you own this book? What are you doing with it? Are you going to hold it? Are you going to upgrade it? Are you even looking for 9.8s? Are you just straight up looking for 9.9s to invest in? Let me know your thoughts in the comment section below. And, of course, as always,
eat responsibly.
Enough said.